Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Deidre DeGrado here with me. She is a certified professional midwife out of Wichita. I asked her to do an interview with me because we chatted about a month and a half, 2 months ago. She has a really cool midwifery co-op business structure on a higher level. And we did a business conference this last weekend, and I'm talking about all these wonderful utopias that are all over the country. And they didn't believe me. And they're like, okay, well, let's meet these infamous people you speak of. And so I appreciate you getting on and just talking about your private practice and what you've created in the community.
So as she said, I'm Deidre. We've got a group practice. I love the title that you kind of actually coined. I put that coin like co-op or cohort myself. But as I thought about it more, and I was even visiting with my, and he has something actually very similar in his chiropractic practice as well. And he thought, oh, I really like that term too. Like a group practice, even though there is a group of us. And so basically what we done well for really, we are going on almost 10 years now, is we have four CPMs. One of them is a CPM CNM, and also have some birth assistants. We have students as well. And so what we do is one of us, which one who decided kind of to take on what I would call, you know, the overall financial burden, planning, management, and organization group. And in the group, I'm the one who basically pays all the bills. I'm the one financial everything. So my job is to hire, fire, organize meetings, all the bills. We have one staff member that typically works for me, and my job is to tell her like what we need done. Maybe, you know, we need to order supplies or just to keep her calendar full and busy. And the other midwives can also ask her to do things. So for example, you know, and they'll put on the calendar that she needs to do the birth certificate for so-and-so. And we call that position our core. And so those midwives that I work with are all independent contractors. And that means that I don't pay them personally for the work that they do in the way of boss. I'm just kind of the person that's leading the group. But I do collect all of the money. So everybody that comes into our office basically chooses whichever midwife they want. And if they don't have a preference for a midwife, then what happens is they will, when somebody calls in, they will basically ask for a midwife. We'll say, oh, you don't have a preference. Okay, well, I'm going to set you up with, generally start our care with a complimentary meet and greet. So that's an hour-long appointment where and interview us and talk to us about the services that we offer and find out costs related. So from that point on, if the client decides to engage in a relationship with us and start, you know, their initial appointment with that particular midwife. And then our coordinator, that client into our QuickBooks Online system and give them, you know, a midwifery. And then the coordinator goes about, you know, updating the client with financial responsibility, choices, etc. When the patient pays their bill through QuickBooks Online or cash or check, that comes into the business account. And then what happens is I person who works for me, and she is basically a QuickBooks Online, I don't know.
She's your little bookkeeping guru. Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah, but like she's one of these people that actually kind of works with online. I don't exactly know how it works, but they're, yeah, she's is an accounting person, but her job is kind of through QuickBooks. Like she, and so she will take all of the income that has come in for a particular month, and she will and she will make basically kind of like a Excel sheet, has paid what to which midwife. And then each midwife gets their particular statement of what their patient for that month. And then she will tell us how much that, and then I will, well, my coordinator will, I'll sign it, but my coordinator will then write a check to that particular midwife for her. And so I don't know. I mean, I feel fine about sharing our percentage, but I do think that nurses that are looking into this have to be very careful about setting their percentage, because, you know, obviously there are that are included in my group, and some things that are not, you know.
Well, every single situation is going to be different. What they count in the business overhead, what they decide as responsibility. And yeah, every place is going to be different negotiation, but you've got to be realistic. If you're going to be in charge of this, what is your actual time, making sure you're getting fairly compensated for that responsibility to be the head of the co-op?
Right. Right. And so I don't know, Leslie, maybe you can just advise me. I was asking my husband like some questions about sharing specifics, and I don't think my group would care if I was sharing specifics.
I think it's more of the inspirational. Just give examples high level of some things that they do separate, and you don't have to go into the money numbers side, because obviously we're going to put your link if you want to give them an opportunity to chat with you afterwards more individualized. But I think just the inspiration, because every business, every situation is going to be different. Maybe they don't want to group supplies together and they want to group malpractice, but they don't want to group marketing. Every situation is going to be different. But I think giving some examples of what was important for you guys to group and to keep separate will be helpful.
Yeah. So I would say, like, really in general, I pay for everything except for malpractice.
Okay.
So, and I would also say, like, there would be an exception in the, it, as far as like the midwives came into my group already with some supplies. So like their bags, we do all home births. So their bags and their Dopplers all belong to them individually, but really like their pulse oximeter or pulse oximetry machines, their Masimos, those belong to me.
Okay.
And so they would have to give that back. Their oxygen tanks belong to me. Their regulators belong to me. Everything else really would belong to me. I purchased it and they are using it. And anything that they brought into the practice that doesn't belong to me, they had to kind of put on a list ahead of time to let me know, just, hey, I own my own Doppler and this is mine and that.
Well, and I think that's that clear written expectations, because you can talk verbal all day long and make it as complicated as you want, but it all comes down to, this is what I'm doing to participate in the co-op. This is what you're doing to participate. And how are we splitting the funds based on that relationship?
Right. And I think that we had agreement, but, you know, after talking with you and, you know, so it'd been on the back of my mind, we really did a lot more things kind of down writing, and I kind of like did put a little bit more details into it, but I had already had a lot of details. So
you did. I was very impressed with what you start. You came at a high level for our meet and greet. You had very detailed questions. You had your ducks in a row. I was very impressed.
Yeah. So anyway, so in that agreement, then it just does say like all of the services that I'm going to provide and provide. So really the office is just very well stocked. And then each midwife has their days that they use the office for their prenatal, for their clinical care. And right now that only works 2 days a week. And that really is because my practice is very busy. That, but then she's also doing, you know, birth certificates or maybe making an order because somebody realized they were something like that. And then she schedules appointments, and, you know, that's just one of the services that we offer for. And then, so basically, as I was saying, kind of, then they will get their statement. I call it. But again, like I said, they don't work for me. And then they basically also have to just take care of all and all of that. So I don't pay, you know, any social security or anything like that. They all have their own accountant that is going to help them figure out what to do with taking care of their tax the end of the year. So I just pay them a percentage, and it was recommended to me when I started because I kind of work more in two other type business types within a therapy business, and then also, like I said, in my business. So I knew roughly financially where I needed to be, and I knew it was going to be somewhere in the them getting, you know, more like 50 to 60, and then me charging more like 40 to 50. In general, I feel that where I'm at is really very good. I always have enough money. I've been able to, you know, get myself in a situation financially where I have, you know, at least 3 months worth of income. So if something happened and I couldn't practice, or you know,
you've got an emergency account, that insurance for the co-op. I think it's just great because you and I, when we talked, like the big thing with a co-op is stressing everybody has to be very similar practice volumes. So making, if you're going to be in the co-op, you have to have this low end or high end of births a year. It doesn't have to be in 1 month. I think just the bigger picture, but it does start getting a little tricky with co-ops when everybody's contributing to a pool and pulling from the pool, but you maybe are doing three times the volume of someone else in the co-op. I think that was the big thing we got away from it, is clear expectations of a similar volume, because then you've got a similar revenue contributing to that bucket.
Yeah, and I think that you know, work if you don't, because I have, you know, we have one midwife that doesn't practice very much. We have another one that does probably have, of course I do the most. And then we have another midwife, which I really, really love, and I would highly encourage to do this, because it's a great way to save money. And it's also, a lot of midwives feel happy and useful, but not have to have the full commitment, especially young. I have one of our midwives who is a new mom. She has two small children, and she is really our birth assist. All of the birth assisting for all of us. And then we pay her a per diem for birth assist. And that the responsibility of the midwife. So if she helps me, I pay her. If she helps Cynthia, she helps Sharon pays her. And that is a really, really great role for me, who maybe doesn't want the of having a full-on practice, because, you know, she doesn't have to do any clinic at all. And she so for, say, like I get called out to a birth, she can fill in for my clinic. And then Sharon also is, you know, as busy either. And morning, I had a birth and I just texted her and I was like, I've got a full day. Can you cover my clinic? And so she just went in and covered. In our agreement, we have the amount that we will reimburse the other midwife. So it's kind of, it's a per visit.
It's a nice cushion. It's in writing, the clear expectation. If someone wants to be resourced, they maybe don't get to pull as much from the pool, but they get a nice where, okay, they'll fill in, they'll be your backup, they'll give you guys a help. I think that mindset of helping each other through our life events and having it more of an integral business structure is so important.
Yeah. I think it's great. And I also think too, I mean, you have to make sure that when I started my office, I was alone. So I already knew that I could. So if somebody were a lone midwife and they were thinking of doing this, if you already knew you can float your expenses, then by all means, you can easily bring somebody else in.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to help you. Anything that they do, any work they do at that point, is going to help you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so
I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Yeah. So I think even it works well, even if they don't have a similar volume, but I just think you have to know that you're okay with that, you know?
Right. Well, it's the win-win situation, getting creative. Maybe they're not going to take a specific percentage of supplies, and maybe you get a little more, but it's all about the numbers. It's all about if you feel like you're getting value with extra call coverage, with backup, and they're exchanging it for XYZ. It's about creating a win-win in whatever creative situation that works for you guys.
Right, exactly. And so, for example, one of the things that we do is patients for supplies. So we have our midwifery fee, base fee, but the midwife that I used to work with, like that included a lot of stuff. But in my mind, that would then up the price for the people who aren't using those things. So for example, you know, Pitocin or using, you know, or, you know, anything like that on the supply end. So really then what happens is everybody gets charged the same amount, but then if they want, you know, vitamin K for their baby or they need to, then they're just getting charged that. And that also is where I'm on the financial end for that. So the midwife herself does those supplies because I've already paid for those supplies. So I will be fronting the money for all the supplies, but then I'm the one for the supplies.
So you're getting the huge advantage to buy in bulk. I mean, instead of you doing your practice, you're now leveraging everybody's practice volume to pay a fraction of the cost. Like people don't realize, I give the example with like Mirena's and Paragard's and IUDs, some of these big expensive items, you buy it one at a time, you lose money with the insurance company. But if you start buying 5, 10, 20 at a time, you actually get like a 50% discount. It's pretty significant when you start buying in bulk items.
Or even like Rogam, you know,
yeah, I used Rogam.
To throw that out because it would expire.
Now you've got other people to share with you.
Yeah. Or even just simple things like pillow covers. I mean, you know, you go through those like crazy, you know, I mean, pillow covers in and of themselves, like you can buy an enormous box for practically nothing or table cover or, you know, whatever. And that stuff, I guess, in the long run, you're going to end up using that up, whether you're one person or whether you're four. But the things that expire, you know, like the packaging that you put your instruments in, that's another example, or, you know, things like that. It's really great that you're sharing in the expense with several other people so that, you know.
Well, if you buy an autoclave, now everybody's using the same autoclave versus each midwife has an autoclave at their office. Like these little things that are expensive pieces of equipment that we can share and we can work as a team to utilize.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also an advantage, you know, we have a student and that's her job. And so, you know, we've got people that are, you know, supporting us in our midwifery role. You know, I know a lot of like CPMs, especially they do like all their own birth certificates, all their ordering their own supplies. But, you know, because there's four of us, we can afford to pay somebody to do all of that. And for me, like that in and of itself sold me on sharing expenses and wanting to be in a group with somebody. Because, you know, for one, of course, having Colin, having people that'll back you up and, you know.
Yeah, we talked about that on last Saturday about the collaboration. If it's too expensive for you to pay a consulting fee to one doctor, but what if a pool of 6-8 midwives did it for that fee, then it's not so bad. I mean, we all need backup. We all need help. And yeah, those are just examples.
Yeah. And especially the office work, like for me, that is just a lot. And I mean, if you're not doing very many births and maybe you do 20 births a year, okay, fine. You can handle all of that. You can juggle all the miscellaneous other work that goes into it. But, you know, if you start seeing, and I told one of my partner midwives, you know, who was trying to decide, like she was my student and we were looking at going into practice with each other. And we really did want to support each other in the way of like family support so that, you know, we could take time away and be, you know, with our families and not be stressed about it. But I told her, I said, listen, I know this split for you right off the bat isn't ideal for you. But when you hit the 20 mark and you have somebody that's going to be helping you, you know, you have an office person that's going to be helping you with all these things, and you don't have to wonder, oh, is there, you know, whatever alcohol pads in the drawer, you know,
right?
You don't have to worry about, are there supplies? Do I have it? Oh no, it's, you know, do I need to run to Walgreens for, you know, pillow covers or whatever? I mean, I use the same examples, but, you know, I said at first, definitely you will make more money being by yourself and not paying into this group. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you have a small group and you don't care about the support and the call and all of that, and you just want to run your little business with 20 births, you're going to make more money not being in a group. But once you get past that point, you will definitely benefit from being in a group.
Well, it's leveraging the experts around you. I mean, some people like to do business, some people aren't good at it, but you're now pooling everybody's expertise, and they each have projects in the co-op, and you guys are learning from each other. You're interacting more regularly. Everyone's leveraging from your business expertise you've learned over many, many years. So these brand new graduates are going to get more successful faster and have a better work-life balance purely because they joined your co-op.
Yeah, and because also I love what you just said. I want to come back to that. But I love what you said as far as, you know, the camaraderie and the modeling and the mentoring, because, you know, when you have right at your fingertips somebody else in the office and you go, hey, I just saw this blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that? Or, you know, like my partner last week, she, you know, couldn't, I can't remember what it was. Oh, I think she just couldn't get her vein. And so she's like, hey, would you mind sticking her for me? And so, you know, yeah, I was able to pop over there and stick her for her, and she didn't have to send her to the lab. And that was really helpful and useful for her. Or maybe I'm on the phone and I've got a miscarriage going on and I've got a prenatal with somebody standing there. And it's like, hey, could you pop in and get her started for me? You know, just the camaraderie of that alone is amazing. But, you know, none of us are really petty. I mean, we all get along so well. And so I could see, like, if you were in a group where that didn't happen, of course that could be really, really stressful. But, you know, I think that our situation is one that, I don't know, maybe it's unique, but we all get along really well.
But you got to start somewhere. It's the mindset of looking at abundance versus scarcity, and the mindset that we all have the same core values. Like, yes, there could be a history, there could be some tension, but we are adults, and let's look at the bigger picture of how it's putting our big girl pants on, and it's getting past this little stuff that, what is our bigger purpose?
Yes. And Leslie, I want to comment on what you brought up, because I think that's really important too, is that, we all do have a job. So, for example, yeah, of course, my job is the bigger one and it's managing it, but I'm being financially reimbursed for that, of course. But we also have, like, one of the midwives, her job is to run our WBA family page. So her job is to organize get-togethers for our families and for the moms to get together and the kids to play together. And, you know, that's her job. And then the other one's job is to run our website. She designed the website. She updates the website. You know, when we had COVID, she added all the new stuff to COVID. I mean, that's her job, is managing that website. And then the other partner, her job is doing a lot of our training, keeping organized on, hey, what's available for training, what's available for CEUs, helping us get that together. You know, she's also just a really great resource for us. And so we all have a specific contribution that we don't get paid to do. You know, that particular person has to contribute somehow. And then we also, so that the business model is fair, we also alternate the phone every week. And so for a week, besides Tuesday, Thursday. So the coordinator answers the phone all day Tuesday, Thursday. And these are some very specifics, but I find that midwives, this is where they get bogged down. They actually really, they really need help with specifics. They have
the day-to-day operations, fine tooth. You got to talk very detailed and make it all in writing, and then it's going to smooth out. But if there's vagueness, then one person feels taken advantage of or misunderstandings. You need very specifics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe we should do a whole nother show on that.
I would love it. We'll have to do another part two about the day-to-day operations and the higher details. I for sure, because it's already been 30 minutes and I love your valuable time. I know you've been at two births the last couple of days and it was so cute yesterday. You didn't even know what day it was. And you're auto-texting me, you're at a bird. And yes, I just, the little things that make me laugh. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, I missed the meeting. Oh wait, no, I didn't miss the meeting.
You didn't even know what day of the week it was. You're stressing about the meeting that didn't even occur. So I appreciate, I know you're tired. Your kids waiting patiently for dinner right now. We'll definitely do a part two, maybe in like 6 weeks. And then I can put where people can ask questions at the bottom and we can dig definitely into it. I think the biggest core is I wanted people to get inspired. There are midwifery co-ops that exist across the country. There's so many ways you can do it. Our creativity is what stops you. It's not the traditional midwifery practice. How do you want to run a practice?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And meeting with you will also help me probably get mine refined even a little bit more. So
well, thanks for the plug. I appreciate it. Yeah, we met at a consulting visit. You reached out. And that's what I love about what I do is I get to meet such cool midwives and I get to help, like, look at it at a different angle and think of it objectively from the outside. And so thank you for inspiring me to challenge people with this direction more too.
I'm trying to get a job with you when I retire. That's
I love it. I am all about that. I need more consultants. There's very few, I mean, on a private practice, and there's a lot of semi-retired midwives that do it just kind of underground. It's a hobby. And I'm like, yeah. We need a large scale, and I would love to have you on my team. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon. And thank you so much for your time. Have a great night, Deidre.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye.